Now you pray for me tonight. I'm tired in my body, and I have studied, and it seemed like it's one of those times whenever we wrestle. And you ministers know what that is. Whenever you wrestle and you're seeking to find what God would have you to speak from, and the book is full, but you know there's a portion of God's word that he wants you to speak from. And we wanted to be on course with the Lord as we speak. So I went to the second chapter of the book of Acts, and in the 38th verse of this chapter, the Apostle Peter was speaking on the day of Pentecost, and he said, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call." Now, he put that in the last part of the scripture because St. John tells us no man can come to the Lord except that God call him. And whenever God calls, it's a serious, serious thing for God to make a call on our life. You see, the Bible teaches in Hebrew, the 10th chapter, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a just and living God. And so God called upon us to help us to turn around from sin, to repent from sin, turn around and give it up to the Lord. And I want to tell you, it's the best step that anyone's ever made, is to give up sin, give up the world, turn around and come home to God. That's the best step that you'll ever make in your entire life. You think of what an honor that it is to be called by a heavenly King, King Jesus, who went to the cross, give all that he had for us. He didn't need to do what he done for himself. He done it for you and I. And it was your sins and my sins that put Jesus in that condition, that he went there to pay the price, to ransom our soul out of sin and out of the hand of the devil, so that we could have peace in our life and rest in our soul. And so, if there's a lost person in this building tonight, I'd like for you to consider your soul, consider where you're at, and any time that God could call you and you'd leave this world lost and undone without God. When there's hope, when there's an offer from God for you to turn from sin and to serve the living God. I want to say, over in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said some things that I really like to think about. He said in the 9th verse, "Now I rejoice not that ye sorrow to repentance, for ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damnation, damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And if, for behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrow after a godly sorrow, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearness yourself, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. Now, Paul, I think, was talking to the man that had got in trouble in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And he was removed from the congregation. But old time conviction, God spoke to him and called upon him. And he returned and repented. Now, godly sorrow is what a person needs in their heart. They need to feel that condemnation of sin. You see, Jesus didn't come to condemn no one. He came because we is already condemned. And so Jesus speaks to us then through a godly sorrow. Sorrow because of condemnation that's in the heart. The wrongdoing, the wrong thing. Now, old time godly sorrow brings us to repentance. Whenever you can really see a person that go down through godly sorrow and repent and turn their back on the world, they don't want to go back to that same place again. They are looking forward because they've got out of the depths of sin and the things that was grieving and hurting and had them pressed down, and they want to go forward in a better life. Because godly sorrow burdens a heart and breaks a heart. Isaiah, the 28th chapter said, the bed is shorter than you can stretch yourself out on it. You see, when old time, a godly conviction gets a hold of a person, the bed gets too short and the cover gets too narrow. He can't find no rest nowhere that he goes in the world. When I got it under conviction, the world no longer satisfied me. No matter where I went, I was dissatisfied. I thought I'd go here or I'd go there. But when I got there, I wasn't happy there. I wasn't happy nowhere. I wasn't happy when I went to rest at night. I was afraid that I'd die lost without God. Brother, sister, that's the kind of conviction that brings you to an altar of repentance. And when you go down in that, you quit sin, give up sin, turn your back on the world. God has come in your soul and you'll know it's reality, praise God. A man that comes to the altar and just to make a confession, few days, few weeks, goes back out in the world, he didn't have godly sorrow. You see, man that gets caught for bootlegging, he might tell the sheriff, I'm sorry. He may go before the judge and say, I'm sorry. He may have compassion on him, turn him loose or give him a short sentence. But if he goes back out there and makes a booze again, he wasn't really sorry. Sorry means he quit it forever, praise God. Turn it loose and get out of it. That's the way sin is. Whenever you give up sin, give up the world, turn your back on it. It doesn't do anything for you, no way. You need to come home to God, and God will help you with all your needs if you'll come to him. That's the kind of God he is. Now then, to repent, you got to have a faith in God. So the Bible teaches us that we're justified by faith, does it not? Abraham was justified by faith, and Paul talks about it in Romans, the 5th chapter. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith in his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. Whenever we come to the place of repentance, we must believe in our heart. Whenever we repent, ask God to forgive us, that God will forgive us. You see, I see people come to an altar of prayer, and they wrestle. I tell people, when you come to pray, have your mind made up. For God's ready to save when you're ready to accept him. If he called on you, he wants to save you, or he never called on you. When God makes a call on a person, all you got to do is surrender your heart to him, repent of your sin, give it up, surrender it all to God, and brother, you'll pour joy down in your soul. You'll come from there, changed person, praise God. The old man's dead and a new man's living, and you got something in your soul that is peace and joy and happiness, and you'll know, praise God, that you come from somewhere to somewhere with God. Whenever I got saved, nobody had to tell me I was saved. I knowed I was saved, and I thank God for that. Now, the Bible tells us that in getting saved, the experience that we have in getting saved, in Romans, the 6th chapter, he says this to us in the 3rd verse, "Know ye not, so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Now he's talking about a baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, when we come to the Lord, we're dead. And we're dead man. We're dead and in sin. But whenever we're planted with him, it's something like Jesus spoke in St. John 12 and verse 24. He said, "If the take a grain of wheat, if it bides alone, except it be quickened, be planted, it quickened, and it die, it bide alone." So we, unless we go down with Jesus and he be planted with him, we're dead. We go in dead. But what happens when we go in there? The power of God, it quickens us. And when it quickens us, then it generates us with the power of a new man. And we baptize with the Spirit of God. What does that do? In 1 Corinthians 12:13, he baptized us with the Spirit of God into the body of God. We come out in a new resurrected life and to walk with new life in the newness of Jesus. Thank God, in a life we've never lived before. That's how it is. Whenever I got saved, all the old songs went away. I was a Elvis Presley person. Whenever I was in sin, I liked to hear the jailhouse rock. And all shook up and all of that kind of junk. But after God got a hold of me, all the jailhouse rock went and all shook up went. And so Jesus moved in and peace came my soul and a brand new song came in my heart. You see, God's grace changes things and it gives you a new outlook on life. I remember back at home, I was at home when I got saved. I walked out on the front porch the next morning. I got out of the bed, walked out for the first time in my whole life. I took notice to the birds are singing, to the sun, how bright it looked, how good the day looked. Oh, brother, God changes things all the way around you. Whenever you come out a new man, everything looks different and better with you. And life is better whenever God gets in your soul. Yes, it is. It's just a better way to live. Over in 1 Corinthians, Paul talked to them, the 10th chapter of Romans. Paul talked to them about salvation and about how to get things fixed with the Lord. And so I thought he made some wonderful statements here. He said to us in the 9th verse of this chapter, 8th verse, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I believe God is a living God. I don't think tonight that Christ is dead. I believe he had a resurrection. I know after they went and told the Pharisees that he was alive, that the angels had rolled a stone away, told them how it happened, they give large amount of money to tell the people that's not so. Well, say what they want to. Brother, if we get saved, we got to believe that Jesus Christ had a resurrection. And if we don't, we're still in our sins. But thank God, he came forth. The angels rolled the stone away. And I believe, brother, that he's alive tonight. Because he's living in me and I have an experience that God is alive. And so when you confess him with your mouth and believe it in your heart, it's made unto salvation because that's the faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Thank the Lord. You see, being saved is not a ceremony of religion. Salvation is not a sermon or religion. There's some things to go through with. There's dying got to be done. crucifying got to be done. Whenever Paul was speaking about being planted with Christ, he told him about what kind of death that Jesus died. Can you see him on the cross of Calvary? Whenever they drove the nails in his hand, the spikes in his feet, put a crown of thorns on his head, spit in his face, smote in his face, whipped him with a whip, tore the hide on him, and brother beat him until his strength was about gone. But yet, brother, on the cross of Calvary, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Whenever the world went dark, and for 3 hours, and when the earth shook, and when the temple was rent in twain, it proved he was the Son of God. Even the Roman soldier said, that surely this is the Son of God. Brother, yes, I believe that is Christ, don't you? I believe tonight he's well and he's alive. Yes, I do. I believe, thank God, he's living tonight. You read Matthew 28 chapter and you'll see what Jesus went through for you and for me. And so Paul said to these, believe it in your heart. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He'll take the shame away from you. What kind of shame? What the world's done to you. And let me say here just a step or two that there's scars on your heart. Sometime after we get saved, that we need some more healing. What do you mean? So what sin done to you? When you're out there in sin, sometimes you're thinking of those things and you think, well, you know, I don't know. Well, let me tell you something. God can help us to overcome every scar, every bruise that the devil's ever made against you. Read Isaiah 53rd chapter. Read Luke 4:18. You'll find, brother, that when God saves you, he'll not only forgive you of your sin, but he'll heal the bruise that the devil has worked on you and bruised you up and put scars on your soul. God can heal it. Sometimes we have a harder time forgiving ourselves of the past than God does forgiving us of our sins. But oh, thank God. Thank God. He reaches down. Hebrews, I think it's the 7th chapter and probably the 27th verse, said that he's able to save to the uttermost. What's that mean? He'll save deeper than sin has ever stained. And I read of some in this book that the devil got them down. Even one or two in here that the devil's possessed, that they couldn't even speak, that the Father had to speak for them, that they were so possessed with demons and devils. But you know something? God cast all of that out and he healed the soul and forgave the sin. I want to tell you, he's a loving God. He's a peaceful God. And you can make peace with him tonight, and when it come time, leave this old world, you can fold your hands, and while you feel this world going after and under you, you can see a new one coming in view, praise God, home sweet home with the Lord. That's the kind of life that God will give us. Oh yes, he will. Now the step that you need to take after you get saved, you need to be baptized. Yes, you do. You need to not only repent, but you need to be baptized. buried in the watery grave. Spiritual baptism and also water baptism need to take place with you. Now, in Colossians, he tells us when he was talking about blotting away the old covenant, the old law, and he was trying to help these folks to see that all of those things they've been holding to, they need to move, put that out and get this in mind. In the 11th verse, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hand, in putting off the body of the sin of the flesh by circumcision of Christ. Now what he's saying, let me comment right here. He's moving the old flesh, killing the old man, the old fleshly will, the old skin of the heart. He's putting in a new heart. Amen. And he said, you're buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are raised with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. What does baptism do? You go down in a watery grave, buried, signifying that you went with him in that death, that you were buried with him, and that you come out through the operation of God, and that you have a new life. When I was baptized in Old Tellico River, I went down, and brother, I felt like knocking water for a little while. Why? Because there's a blessing when God steps in and does an operation with you. There's a blessing in it. Now, baptism doesn't put you in the church. No, water don't put you in the church. Neither does the blood. The blood atones for your sin, but it takes a spirit to quicken you and to give you life. You see the difference? Blood atone for remission of sin, but it takes a spirit of God to quicken you and to resurrect you to a new life in Jesus Christ. Now the blood is a great thing. Don't misunderstand me. But brother, had the law had blood under it, but there was no life. But whenever they come to Jesus and he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, he put the word of God in force. When I preach it, I sprinkle you with the blood of the Lord. But it takes the power of God to quicken you and to resurrect you and to give life in him tonight. Yes, it does. So every soul that gets saved need to be baptized. Then if there's any crooked stuff went on, you need to straighten that up with your fellow man. You mean I have to do things that be that hard? Well, let's just say if you stole something, you need to make it right. Now that don't work against you. It works for you. Ezekiel said in the 18th chapter, and has not oppressed any, but has restored to the debt his pledge, has spoiled none by violence, has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the nakedness with the garment. That's talking about what? When he comes back to God, what he needs to do. And I've run on people said, well, now look, preacher, I done away with what I stole. And I ain't got it no more. What am I going to do? I ain't got it. And I ain't got the money to pay. What am I going to do? Let me go over to Corinthians, the 8th chapter, and he'll tell you what to do there in this 11th verse. Now, therefore, perform the doings of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man has, and not according to that he has not. So what do I do? I go and I say, first of all, fella, whoever, look, I've got saved. I give my heart to God. But I wanted you to know that this debt I owe you, or this I stole from you, I want to make it right. I don't own it. I don't have it. It's gone from me. But, and I ain't got no money. But if you got a ditch, I'll dig it. If you got a mule, I'll plow. Or if you need me in a hay field, I'll do that. I'll work for you, whatever. Now that our attitude will witness for you that you've been with Jesus. Amen. You don't want to run around, child of God, and shout hallelujah. One man was shouting in the church house, and he owed the fella, never saying nothing to him. And the man sitting right there, he just got up politely, walked over the side of him while he's shouting. He said, if you'll pay me what you owe me, I'll help you shout. You know what the man done? He sat down real quick. You see, what you want, a good witness that I've come to Jesus, that my life is coming clean. I'm not hiding nothing, praise God. I uncovered. Lord, uncovered me, and I give it all to the Lord. And when you do that, brother, you can hold your head high and say, beat this if you can. You can't beat it nowhere you go. It's the best thing can ever happen to you, that you just turn it all over to God. Straighten up your path. What did Isaiah say? Let me just turn there and read it to you. It's going to hush, but I'll turn and read it to you. I think it said it well. In Isaiah, when he cried, and he said to the voice of him that crieth, in the wilderness prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight path, straight in the desert a highway for God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough place plain. Now do you see? God works on our path. Yes, he does. He goes down where it's been rough. He gets that. When you've been high, he brings that down. He fills up the valley. He makes everything like it ought to be. Now if you're here tonight and you're lost, I want to invite you. Come to know Jesus tonight. Come get acquainted with him. And after I got saved, I went back on God. And I don't stand here and tell you, that was a miserable life. I wasn't happy nowhere. I was dissatisfied. And you know, if you turn over to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, he'll let you know. You're crucifying Christ afresh. You're trampling his blood and under your feet. It's same as telling the world there's nothing to it. Yes, why not? Just stop right where you're at and say, Lord, I'm coming home. Your heart tonight, if you hear loss, your heart is saying, take me home to Jesus. Take me home. I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of roaming. I'm tired of what the world's done to me. I want peace with God.